Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mahindra & Mahindra Q1 FY19 earnings conference call, hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan of Emkay Global. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aman. Good evening, everyone. Emkay Global is pleased to invite you for the conference call with Mahindra to discuss the Q1 FY19 results. We are delighted to have with us Dr. Pavan Goenka, Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, the Group CFO and Group CIO, and other senior management personnel from M&M, including the IR team. We would initially start off with the comments from Partha, sir, and then we'll start the Q&A session. Over to you, Partha, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of M&M Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to everyone on this call. I will share some updates on key economic environment along with financials on Q1 FY19. After my comments, Dr. Pavan Goenka will share overall performance and some aspects in detail. Let me first briefly talk about the macroeconomic updates. Before I talk about global factors, I wanted to highlight the second consequential rate hike of 25 basis points done by the RBI, taking the repo rate to 6.5% now. The rates have gone up by 50 basis points over the last two meetings, and over the last two years, we have reached back at the same repo rate, shall we say, back to the past. So amidst the rhythm of rain, RBI has taken an inflation-focused approach to rein in inflation rather than draining benefit to the industry. But probably the industry wants more focus on growth, especially given the fact that trade protectionism appears to be the new norm around the globe now. Talking about trade disruptions, the U.S.-China global trade war seems to be expanding to the EU. The good part is that the global growth forecast has been maintained at 3.9% for 2018 and 2019. The U.S. growth outlook looks sustained with fiscal stimulus driving short-term growth. The U.S. dollar continues to be strong, buoyed by outlook on strong U.S. economy and rising yields. Closer home, real GDP continued the upward trend and reached a six-quarter high of 7.7% in Q4 FY18. On the back of this environment, let me share financials for Q1 FY19 for M&M and MVML put together. Happy to share that for Q1 FY19, we have achieved the best-ever first-quarter performance across all financial parameters. Net revenue at 13,358 crores is higher by 22.8% versus Q1 FY18. As mentioned by me in the last quarter, the previous year revenue has been reinstated to give GST effect in our farm equipment business. EBITDA at 2,110 crores is 47% higher than the previous year, which was at 1,434 crores. OPM at 15.8% is higher by 260 basis points versus previous year, which was at 13.2%. PBIT of 1,874 crores is higher by 58.7% against Q1 FY18, which was 1,180 crores previous year. PBT before EI at 1,830 crores is higher by 62% versus previous year, and PBT after EI at 1,855 is higher by 64% versus previous year, which was at 1,130 crores. Considering the above, PAT before EI at 1,238 crores is up by 65% against the previous year, of 752 crores. And PAT after EI at 1257 crores is up 67.2% versus a previous year figure of 752 crores. You are aware that we transited to GST regime last year from July 2017 onwards. Accordingly, we made a provision of 144 crores in Q1 F18 books, which reduced the financial performance of the previous year quarter. If we were to adjust that one-time provision from the figures of previous quarter, our growth percentage will be moderated as follows, but will still be a stellar performance. Revenue will grow at 21.2% in that scenario, EBITDA at 33.7, OPM would be 150 bips higher than previous year, PBIT growth of 41.5%, and PBT after EI will be 45.7, and PAT after EI will be 49%. So let me quickly talk about Q1 segment results as well. Revenue at 8,000 crores for auto sector, higher by 22.6% versus previous year. Adjusting for the GST provision impact, the growth would be 21.5%. Segment result is 758 crores for auto, up by 69.5% versus last year, growing significantly higher than the revenue growth rate. Adjusted for GST, the growth would be 49.2%. FES, our farm equipment segment, revenue at 5,007 crores, which is the first time ever that farm equipment sector has crossed this 5,000 crore mark, higher by 24.2% against last year. Adjusting for GST provision, the impact as stated earlier, the growth would be 21.7%. Segment result for FES is 1,045 crores, which again is the first time ever that farm equipment sector has crossed the 1,000 mark, therefore reaching a new milestone, and is higher by 40.9% versus previous year, growing significantly higher than revenue growth rate. Adjusted for GST, the growth would be 27%. Financial metrics, debt equity continues to be very low, 0.1% gross and zero at net. We will be publishing the consolidated results after the board meeting of Mahindra Holidays, which is later on 9th of this month. However, I would like to highlight some messages at the group level. Our financial sector continued its growth trajectory, and Mahindra Finance delivered a 34% growth in PAT at 269 crores on a standalone basis while presenting its financial for the first time under Ind AS. TechM continues on a digital journey and posted a PAT of 898 crores in Q1 FY19, delivering a 12% YOY growth. Profits at Mahindra Lifespaces almost doubled at 27 crores as compared to previous year figure of 14 crores. They also adopted Ind AS 115 for the first time. Mahindra Logistics reported a PAT of 24 crores, growth of 61% over the previous quarter. Given that all these companies form the pillar of the group performance along with M&M, while we'll see the consolidated results only after the board meeting of holidays, you already have got an indication of how things will look on a consolidated basis, and I'll be happy to answer any question on the consolidated number as and when they are declared. Let me conclude by saying that on a standalone basis, the financial performance has been excellent, backed by good top-line growth and robust cost management. Now I request Pawan to give his comments, please.
So let me start off on a lighter side. We are sitting in Partha's conference room. Normally for this conference, he serves us peanuts for snacks. Today we're getting cashews. So he must be happy with that, and we still need to work a little harder for almonds. So welcome to the conference. You have seen the results. You have gone through Partha's overview of financial performance. I just want to give you a little bit more of environment, so some of it will be repeat of what Mark has said and get it then into the specific performance of the industry and the company. So you may recall that the beginning of last quarter, both in the media and to the analyst, I had talked about seeing no headwinds this financial year. And I had talked about some things to watch for. So if the first quarter performance is anything to go by, we certainly are not seeing any headwinds. In fact, the first quarter performance for all the industries that we are involved in or engaged in was better than what we had expected at the beginning of the quarter. The four things to watch for that I had mentioned at the beginning of the quarter were, one, normal monsoon, and that certainly has happened. There was a little bit of a lull in between, but now it's sort of back to estimate of being 97% or 96% of the normal. And so far the rains have been pretty good, spread has been pretty good, 82% of the area in the country has received normal rainfall. Second thing that I had talked about was interest rate rise, and I had mentioned that up to 50 BPS increase will not be a problem. And beyond 50 BPS, it will probably start hurting a little bit. So we have gotten 50 BPS and we have not seen any impact of that on our sales in either auto or tractor. And yet it's not been passed on to the retail financing anyways, so we won't see the effect. Third thing that I talked about was commodity prices. Commodity prices have actually gone up perhaps a little more than what we had thought at the beginning of the quarter. But as you have seen in the result, we have been able to take care of it partly by selling price increase, not fully. Partly by selling price increase and partly by other efficiencies because of the volume going up. Fixed cost or personal cost as a percentage of revenue have gone down, as you will see in the results. And the last one was on oil prices. And I had mentioned that up to about $70 should be okay. Beyond $70, it might start pinching. We are at about 73, 74 right now. The petrol and diesel prices are high. It is somewhat hurting the transport sector, and that is one of the reasons for the strike that they had. But I have not seen any slowing down on demand on account of that. So if you look at the rural sentiment overall, everything appears to be positive. In addition to monsoon, harvests have been good. The Rabi harvest was pretty good with 5% higher than 5-year average. Kharif MSP has gone up by 15% on a weighted average. So that's also pretty good. Loan waivers certainly have helped the sentiment. Reservoir storage is very good. You probably have all of this data. And rise in non-agricultural income because of sustained investment in rural infrastructure as well as government expenditure on rural development. So all of this is certainly helping rural economy. And for our auto segment, we see a little bit more percentage shift happening towards rural than urban. Every year we see 1 or 2 percentage point shift. Now coming specifically to the tractor industry, the industry grew by 23.4% in the first quarter, its highest ever Q1 industry that we have seen for tractors. July there was a bit of a slowdown to 16%, but July anyway is a slow month and everything sort of waits now then for the festive season. And July may have been slightly affected by transporter strike. Because most of the companies were running full capacity and perhaps they were not able to supply because of transport strike. For M&M, we had highest ever quarter volume, 97,360. The Trackstar brand, which is sort of a new brand for us, and we have talked about that, the analyst meet in Nagpur, is something that we are hoping will give us in the medium term maybe 3 to 4% market share. And we are happy to note that though on a small base, Trackstar has doubled the volume in this quarter. And also another thing that we had talked about in analyst conference we had, IR conference, was our focus on farm machinery, the implements. And I'm happy to note that in this quarter, again, on a small base, the growth was 41%. As we look at the outlook for tractor industry going forward, last quarter we had started off saying for the year 8 to 10%. Given how quarter one has done, we see very little risk on saying now that we should be more in the 12 to 14% range. Q2, on the other hand, will be flat. And that is because, at best flat. And that is because of the festive season shifting to November, Diwali shifting to November. But if you look at Q2 plus Q3, then we expect to see a growth of the order of 12% in the 6 months and ending the year somewhere between 12 to 14% for the tractor industry. Going to automotive, industry again had very good growth. In fact, if we looked at overall industry, excluding two-wheeler, the growth number that we have seen, 28%, is the highest percentage growth in 31 quarters for the industry. But you need to temper that with the fact that last year, first quarter was bad, as Partha pointed out, both financially as well as in terms of volumes, because many companies were sort of not selling in the month of June especially, and because of BS3 ban, the commercial vehicle industry was very strongly, heavily subdued. And in fact, CV therefore has seen a 51% growth in this quarter. If I look at M&M performance, we had 8.5% growth in PV and 22.6% growth in CV, overall 16.2% growth. We had two product launches during this quarter, the all-new Plus XUV 500, and I'm happy to see that with that, the XUV volumes are back to the 2700-2800 range that we have been used to, and we sold 8,482 numbers in this quarter. We also launched TUV 300 Plus, which is a longer TUV 300 for the TNT segment, and that is now picking up in volume. HCV was a high point for us, the truck side, with 123% growth. And that takes our market share to 5.7% from about 5.2% in the previous year. Looking forward, sentiment is positive, but since this quarter's performance was also partly because of the low base of last year, as of now, we are not revising the forecast, but all the indications are that if the month of August, September does well, then we should see higher growth than what we had talked about at the beginning of last quarter. Export for auto was very good for us. We doubled the export to 9,360 vehicles in this quarter. And all the markets for us, neighboring countries, Africa, and rest of the world have done well for us. Tractor was flat. It was flat on the basis of the overall. Last year was a good year, and this year has remained flat. If I look at electric vehicles, percentage growth looks good. From 295, we have done 469, but 469 electric vehicle in one quarter is not what we are planning for, and I would still hope that we see much better growth than this in the rest of the quarters. Just a little bit about new launches. I'm sure you are tracking it very well. We have already unveiled the name of Marazzo, which is U321, and the launch will happen before end of September, we have said. There will be one more launch out of the two, S201 and the G4 Rexton, before Diwali, and the second one will happen after Diwali. We have also unveiled the Furio ICV, where we have pictures from the vehicle. And that launch also will happen for Diwali. On the tractor side, we have the Novo 65 horsepower launch and the Intelligent Tractor on UO launch. Neither of these two are high volume product. These are niche products, but a product that we give a lot of importance to. Another thing that I should just quickly point out is on inventory. Our inventory situation is very good. For tractor, we are probably reasonably below the industry, and for auto we are pretty much in line with the industry. In fact, for next 3 months, our concern is capacity, both the supplier end and our end, and not in terms of demand. Material cost increase higher than what we had planned for. We have been able to pass on about half of the material cost increase, and the rest of it has been compensated, in fact more than compensated, by other efficiency improvement that we have done. So I'm going to stop here. I'm not covering the other businesses. Let it come up in the Q&A based on your interest, and open up for Q&A now.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kumar Rakesh from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a very good set of numbers. My first question is about bookkeeping. So we have seen other companies reporting changing in accounting with netting out the freight expenses on revenue line. Do you have any such adjustment this quarter?
Okay. Yeah, I did not specifically tell because the impact on account of Ind AS 115, that new accounting standard, did not have a material impact, but the principles were fully followed. For example, what you said, secondary freight, earlier reflected in both revenue and expenses, but now has been netted off from revenue and is more balance sheet item than P&L. This impact is 90 crores in the current quarter, and so therefore revenue is reduced by 90 crores to that extent, while gross margin remains same. Similarly, there is a figure of 24 crores on account of incentives, which does the same thing. And in farm equipment sector, there is a 16 crore impact on account of retail incentives, which has now been brought into the system based on the new requirement. So these are the impact, basically neutral to profit, all of them, and not material from a margin point of view.
A number comparable?
Yeah. So, to the extent of 90 crores, it would have been done this year, but would not have been done last year.
So, in a way, if you want to go like-to-like comparison of revenue, you might add 90 crores. Yeah. Correct?
110 crores.
Yeah.
Okay. So, these were the changes for us. However, our consolidated report will have a little bigger impact on account of Mahindra Finance, Mahindra Holidays and Mahindra Life Spaces, but we will discuss that once the results are declared. Anybody who wants any queries answered then. Okay.
Understood. Thanks for that. My next question was, Dr. Goenka also talked about your cost efficiencies which you have been driving and offsetting your commodity impact. And we have seen that happening this quarter as well on your overhead costs coming down. How sustainable all of that is, whatever we are seeing in this quarter, all of it is sustainable or some of it will go back in the coming quarters?
These are always hard questions to answer and I cannot really forecast what will happen. Obviously, we try and contain costs. My guess is that if we continue to get the revenue growth the way we had in the first quarter, then we would continue to have cost efficiency, both on the fixed cost as well as employee cost. I think this quarter we probably had like 1.6% reduction in these two heads, fixed cost and employee cost. And 1.6 is pretty large. I do not know if they can get 1.6 again, but we will continue to get an advantage.
Yeah. So just even in a contrast, another way to kind of look at the same is, is there anything which is in kind of a deferment or, you didn't incur the cost now and there is, you will incur the cost in future? So, Pawan immediately, So, there is, we have no fault forward in the plant and we have no carry forward in expenses in the accounting part. So, everything is fully, kind of done that. And even if you have deferred something, the provision is fully capturing that.
But there's always a lumpiness in fixed cost, not in employee cost, but in fixed cost there is a lumpiness depending on when major marketing expenditure happens.
Launches.
I don't have the data to say whether there was lumpiness in first quarter or whether there will be lumpiness in the second quarter.
But it is also fair to say that when we have launches in product, the launch expenses will be incurred in that quarter.
Correct.
Does that answer your question fully?
Yeah, it does, and guides well. Thanks a lot for that. I'll fall back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Singh from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a great set of results. Just one clarification, firstly. This Ind AS 115, the impact that we mentioned is 90 crores plus 24 crores plus 16 crores. Is that the right way to look at?
Yeah.
And?
So 90 and 24 is only reduction in revenue. It has no impact on the contribution of profit. Is that clear, Kapil?
Just hold on, please. We are putting you on a mute for a second.
We were kind of trying to make sure that we were also consistent in what we are coming. 90 and 24, the net impact is revenue goes down and contribution or EBITDA remains the same. Okay? Is that, Kapil, is that clear?
Right.
Okay, that's all. Earlier, see, secondary freight, what used to happen is we used to treat it as an expense item and also a revenue item, okay, because we are charging it from the dealer. But now as per a new accounting standards, it becomes like a payable, so it is not counted in revenue, it is not counted in expense, that's all. Okay?
You also mentioned some 16 crores impact due to farm equipment. Where is that?
Yeah, that is in expense line. Earlier retail expenses, we were not fully charging off at the point of sale. With the Ind AS coming in, we have kind of decided to capture even what we will, what the dealer will eventually, spend on our behalf on retail, which we will reimburse on his stock, which is being taken into account, and that's the 16 crores. Yeah? All this is already in the financial.
Okay. So all these items will basically go out of revenue and other expenditure.
All the items that I said, secondary freight and incentive, if you looked at last year, they would be in the revenue item and the cost line. That is correct. Therefore, what you are saying, retail would not have been there last year. It's what we are doing, for the first time, complying to the fully to the new requirement. Okay, so in that sense, in farm equipment, it is an additional cost.
Okay, understood. Sir, firstly, I wanted to check on the new launches. Dr. Goenka, you talked about, S201 and G4 Texton. So, can you tell us what is the order of launches or right now?
I cannot. In fact, I've been very careful in saying that two before the Diwali and one after. The one before is already announced, that is Marazzo. The second one I did not announce, but anybody can guess.
Ek pehle, ek baad mein.
Okay.
If you were to guess, I can tell you will be 95% correct.
Okay.
But I won't tell you.
Sir, over next 2 to 3 years, what is the number of new launches, completely new products in the UV space that that you are envisioning?
I am not going to be explicit about it because we don't want to announce launches 2-3 years in advance. But what I can tell you is that in terms of brand new products or brand new platforms, after these three launches, there'll be nothing for rest of the next calendar year. There are three launches we have, and after that, nothing for rest of the calendar year. We will have a couple of refreshes during the calendar year, but not new platform. Then our new platform launches will start from 2020.
Which
could be a full model replacement or new platform.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Hitesh Goyal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. There's a lot of concern on the street that what happens to FY20 in terms of tractor demand. Would you say that it will be based on the, how monsoons pan out in FY20, or there were a lot of schemes by the government which has impacted tractor very positively in FY19, and we should look at a slowdown in FY20? Can you give your views on that, please?
I'll repeat the question and you confirm whether I've got it right. He's saying FY19, it seems very positive. There is a concern that FY20 industry growth will be very subdued, and therefore he's building on it and asking what could be the reasons for that.
So, see, all I can tell you is that this is the third year of good growth. Okay? Normally, we have a cycle of 3 years, 4 years once in a while, but normally there is a cycle like that. So one would think that the cycle won't come back in the fourth year or the high demand. However, there is only one correction that I want to make, because this time the degrowth before the uptick happened was very high. And therefore, only in last year have we gone back to the peak value. So therefore, our starting point, almost one can say, is from last year. And start counting the cycle from last year. So I'm saying all of this to say that there is little uncertainty on whether we are going to have the same kind of growth next year or not. It will depend, obviously, on factors of monsoon. It will depend on the factor of what kind of crop we get in Kharif and Rabi. It will depend on the government sort of schemes also. And next year being election year, though elections would have been completed before the season starts, that might also have an impact on it. So right now, we are going in with the same assumption as we started this year also, though we have not done specific planning for next year. But we are starting with the assumption of 8 to 10% growth for FY20 also, just like we had assumption of 8 to 10% for FY19. And we will sort of correct it as we get closer to the beginning of next year.
And sir, you had also pointed out the various, you know, factors which are driving tractor demand. But, you know, if you look at the sowing data, that is down significantly, despite rains being very good, like, you know, dispersion has been very good. So that doesn't worry you for rest of the fiscal in second half?
So see, it depends on how you look at it. If I look at the sowing that has happened up until now, the data from the data that we have, the sowing is little bit higher than the normal, about 1.3% higher than the normal as per the data, but slightly lower than the last year. Okay, and these things depend a lot on when rains happen, and sometimes we get overly sensitive to this number. But if overall monsoon is good, if we get good rains in the first few months of August, then even the small sort of shortfall compared to last year, not compared to overall average. Overall average we are better than. Compared to last year, that will probably get taken care of. So I am not at all concerned right now. And when we look at what's happening on the ground, we see absolutely no let up in the demand that we have for farm equipment, both tractor as well as machinery.
Okay. Sir, my final question on MPV. So the new MPV that you're launching, we were thinking that it will be launched more like at a price point of Ertiga. But the press report suggests that you are actually launching it closer to the XUV price point. So what is the thought process? Are we targeting the taxi segment or the Innova segment, you know, at a substantial discount to Innova to really capture that segment? What is the thought process on this pricing of this model?
Are you expecting an answer?
No, just wanted to get a sense of how are you positioning it.
That's my answer. I can't tell you any more than what we have already communicated.
Yeah, and kehte milte hain break ke baad, aise kehte.
Okay, sir. All the best. Thank you.
Yeah, so there is only one thing, Pawan, you want to may want to share about the distribution of monsoon. So, you know.
Yeah. So I think these guys have data better than we do most of the time. But from what we know, about 82% of India has had normal rainfall up until now, and the deficiency is in northeast, and normally northeast deficiency is not something that affects agriculture adversely, because northeast gets a lot of rain. So compared to their datum, even if it's lower, it doesn't matter. There are only two states that are a bit of a problem in terms of rainfall. One is Gujarat, which is a little lower. Two of the southern states, I think Karnataka is a little lower. Tamil Nadu is okay, and I think Andhra Pradesh is a little lower, or is it Telangana, and Chhattisgarh is a little lower. Then these three or four states, Jharkhand, sorry, and then three or four states, rainfall is normal in every other place.
Thank you.
We just got the information that Mr. Karnanidhi passed away. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, thank you. We take the next question, that is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. My question pertains to the price increase which you have taken in tractors and UVs in this quarter.
We have taken approximately 1.5% in auto, and about 1.2-1.3% in tractor.
And any further price increase in July?
That I cannot tell you in advance. I think auto has announced something.
In August, but so far we have not closed.
We cannot talk about that right now. That's always a dynamic situation, and the actual decision is made just a couple of days before announcement.
Sure. Secondly, can you share volumes of Trackstar brand in this quarter, considering that that would be one of the reasons why?
We don't share brand-wise. We don't share brand-wise data. But since Trackstar is just a very small brand right now, we will tell you this. But don't expect us to share brand-wise, because we will never share Mahindra versus Swaraj brand. So we sold in this quarter 1,162 tractors of Trackstar brand, which is about 100%, more than 100% growth. This is YTD July, sorry, that was not June, that was YTD July.
Okay. And lastly, you have for the new upcoming launches and for current SUVs, we have got into this world of SUVs distribution. So can you throw more light on that?
What? So this is basically a shop-in-shop that we are doing at a dealership. We will create a bit of a more SUV ambience in our dealerships do something different for what we call premium SUVs. We are not setting up a separate network because that will be too expensive not desirable for the dealers to spend so much money. We are only creating a different ambience in shop-in-shop.
Okay, understood. And this would be across dealers, across...
Certainly in urban area. We may go a little slow on rural area, but certainly in urban area.
Understood. Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Amyn Pirani from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was on your existing, SUV portfolio. While obviously the new launches will help us gain market share, in the existing portfolio this year, again, at least the beginning of the year, has been a bit sluggish compared to the overall market. So while we have grown, the growth continues to lag the market. So is there anything that you would want to highlight, or is it just that the portfolio itself is more aged and hence only the new models can drive faster growth?
So I think it's reasonable to expect that the existing portfolio would be growing at a modest rate. Mm-hmm. And what you have seen, if you look at XUV500,
yeah,
there was a very good growth coming from that, 49% growth coming from that. When we have the new models, and as it mentioned in the past also, that new models are not cannibalizing existing models. Yeah. All three of them are totally in what one would call a niche within the UV segment, and therefore you would expect that our current model volumes will continue with modest growth. Mm-hmm. And all the new volume that comes from these new models will be additional volume for us.
Okay. And just one clarification. The Trackstar volumes are part of your overall monthly volumes when you report them, but they will not be part of your revenue, right? Because it's a subsidiary.
That will not be part of revenue. In consolidated, it will come, but not in the M&M.
Okay. Thank you.
There are certain supplies that happen from Mahindra to MGTL to Trackstar or no, Gromax to Gromax.
Okay.
Gromax. I still get confused. Okay. To Gromax. So certain supplies happen. So to that extent, that comes in Mahindra's revenue and gets netted off when you do consolidated.
Okay.
But other than that, it won't come in.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the question that was asked on positioning of U321 or the Marazzo, I cannot obviously be very explicit, but if you go through the presentation that we have made in the press meet that happened, which has most of it is on available online now, you would be able to position that vehicle compared to whatever names that you have taken as to where that vehicle should be. We are not directly benchmarking any vehicle. We are not going head on against any vehicle. We are creating a spot here, which we believe is a spot that is in price point, from price point viewpoint, is an empty spot, and a spot where there is a good potential for demand for a good product. And that's what we are trying to do. I cannot be more explicit than this. So if you hear this statement and go back to online and see what we have talked about the vehicle, including the size of the vehicle, and I don't know how many of you have seen that, but this is the highest footprint vehicle ever made by Mahindra, including all our current products such as XUV and Scorpio. Okay. Continue, please.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pramod Amte from CGS-CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on good set of numbers. First question is, considering your 5% market share in the M&A CSP space, how do you see this new axle load norm and the impact on the short-term demand and the medium-term outlook?
So it's a scenario that is changing every day. And even today, there were some updates that were done by the ministry. I believe they have now reduced the increase of load from 15-18% to 12-15%. I believe they have also said that all homologation done by July 15th or 16th of 2018 are grandfathered. That means we don't have to go and re-homologate. And the existing fleet can be re-registered by the user. So these are the things that have been just modified today. Clearly, as far as the OEMs are concerned, we cannot declare our existing vehicle to have the newer load capacity. We have to redesign the vehicle, and only after that we can declare load. And the redesign is not something which is trivial. the biggest factor is tire, because the tire spec required for the new axle capacity are not available in India, and they will have to be developed by the tire manufacturers from scratch. And typically, it takes 12 to 18 months to develop a tire like this. Now, I do not know under the current sort of urgency whether tire manufacturers can do it faster than that, but that's the longest lead time. Then we have to update the brakes, we have to update the axles, we have to update the steering, we have to update the chassis. So all of these will take some amount of work, and given that we are all right now busy working on BS6, that certainly creates a bit of a furor, not a furor, but a bit of a distraction for us in terms of trying to meet those that requirement. But everybody will be working on it, because that's what the customer would be expecting, and those who do it faster than the other will definitely have an advantage in the marketplace. So all manufacturers, I'm sure, will work very feverishly to be the first or among the first to launch the trucks with the new axle capacity. I cannot tell you right now whether it will happen in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. As I said, probably tire will be determinant as to how fast it happens.
Sure. And second is with regard to your SUV portfolio. Do you feel again we are getting into too crowded or a too short a span for the new launches? Because like next 3 months you will have two launches. This is similarly what we did some time back, and then it becomes very difficult for the network to adjust. What's your thought on the same? And second, how do you see the Xylo and Conto to sustain beyond this year, considering your new products coming through?
So Quanto has already been stopped. Xylo continues in a sort of what I would consider low-end TNT segment. And in a sense, Xylo is replacing the demand that the Tavera had, which was about 1,000 vehicles. And Xylo is selling about 600-700 in a month. So that's where Xylo is. So it's a very niche positioning. And we don't see any reason to withdraw that product, because it has a reasonable demand, constant demand that happens month after month. And other question was, I have really no comment to make on what you just said. We have clearly prepared our network to be able to manage these launches. We have clearly prepared our plants, our suppliers to manage these launches. And we probably will be able to talk in April 2019 conference on whether we did well or not did well.
Sure. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from Carvey Institutional. Please go ahead.
So my questions have been answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats for getting our numbers. So my question was on gasoline engines. So any update on that? And also the three models that we are launching, they will also have gasoline engines along at the time of launch?
So one of the three models will have gasoline engines at the time of launch. One more will get gasoline later on, and one will not have gasoline.
So is it possible to indicate whether which one of them will not have gasoline?
You know that.
We have to wait. Okay, we know. Fair point. It's a good idea. And on the existing portfolio?
Existing portfolio, as we have announced, that by 2020, that is by the time we come to BS6, almost all our volume products will have gasoline options. But I also want to point out that in the segments that we are in, gasoline is not a customer preferred option. And for example, on XUV500, we had launched the gasoline option in November of last year. And up to now, we have sold a total of 22 gasoline vehicles.
So then that was my point then. When we know that the market may not be looking at gasoline, why we have been making this kind of investment on the gasoline engines for the or the higher end products, when I say XUVs or the new models that you are launching? Is there actually a need of gasoline engines on that portfolio?
Two reasons. One is that for overseas markets, many markets, even for the bigger SUVs like XUV500 or Scorpio, gasoline is a desired option, though we sell largely diesel right now. But we know that if we had good gasoline engine in these products, we will probably get additional volume. So that is one reason. Second reason is that with diesel, we do not know what might happen when. And we cannot be caught napping where we don't have a gasoline option. And suddenly we cannot sell diesel and we have to sell gasoline. So that in a way preparing for all scenarios. Now, the question that you asked is that why are we spending money on gasoline when we don't see a volume here? What I think I had mentioned this either in the media or in the analyst meet last time, that what we have been able to do is that since all these engines that we have are ground-up engines designed in the last three, four years, we have been able to design them in a way that the production capacity is totally fungible. So investment that we are making in setting up capacity at least is identical. I can almost make anywhere from 0 to 100 on either side. Not quite that way, but almost can be 0 to 100 on either side. And the investment that has been made on development is not 1 plus 1, but it is far less than 1 plus 1. So we have been able to kind of take advantage of the fact that we are starting from scratch, planning for going either way, diesel or petrol, depending on how the demand shifts, and setting up a capacity to be totally fungible. And I personally feel that gives us an advantage going forward, because there's so much uncertainty these days on what will happen in regulation, what will happen in customer demand, what will happen in export markets. So it's good to have that kind of flexibility.
And so just one last information. I missed on the price hike that you indicated. Can you please repeat?
1.5% in the last quarter on auto and 1.2 to 1.3% in tractor.
Yep. Thank you very much. And all the best, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pramod Kumar from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of number. Pawan, my first question was pertaining the inventory financing for dealers in the tractor industry. Given the fact that the industry has been seeing such sharp growth, is there a thinking that you can probably start kind of make the dealer community kind of carry the inventory on their books in terms of shortening the credit cycle as a process to begin with? Because we've seen that happen in the commercial vehicle industry post GFC, and it's kind of helped the industry performance in a much better way. That the there's not been much of a dramatic hard landing when the cycle kind of corrects because of overheating of the inventory and all of that. So is there a, because tractors historically has had a much sharper correction and a bounce as well because of the inventory being kind of funded by the companies. So is there a thinking that we can probably kind of go that way?
So any change if we make in a drastic manner at a given point of time will create too much disruption for the industry. We are quite comfortable with the working capital cycle that we have today. And as you pointed out, that auto, that tractor is a positive working capital for us. But fortunately for us, auto more than compensates for that positive cycle. So we're in a very comfortable position. The whole pricing, the whole chain, everything is based on what we have as a working capital cycle for the dealers and for us. Every once in a while, if it goes out of line, then we bring it back online on either side. And we have a certain internal formula of how much of inventory that the dealer has or how much of the working capital the dealer puts into the business. How much of it is his own money, how much of it is Mahindra's money, and how much of it is borrowed money. And we try and stick very closely to that formula. And with time, we want to reduce inventory and reduce what Mahindra's contribution is. But right now, the inventory reduction that you see is more because of sudden spike in demand. It is not something which is a permanent reduction. And therefore, we cannot be changing the dealer working capital cycle month on month, depending on what happened in that month. So we have no intention, I'm sort of a little bit longest answer to you, but we have no intention right now to make a significant change in the working capital cycle and how much of the working capital is financed by Mahindra. For tractor dealer, we don't see any major change happening.
And just a follow-up question on tractors, Pawan, as in we've been kind of surprised positively on demand on the tractor side. So just trying to understand which are the areas or pockets which have kind of led to the surprise when you look back at the data for the last few months. We've been cautiously optimistic, but the data seems to be much stronger than what we would have expected. So I'm just trying to understand, have you kind of managed to analyze the pockets of outperformance or any particular non-agri usage which has kind of started to kick in a meaningful way? Is it just some incremental color so that it kind of gives us a better handle, especially on FY19, because if it's non-agri, then it can probably sustain for FY20 as well. So if you can just help us with that.
Just want to add one more thing to the previous question, that the capital cycle or the inventory financing that we do and the pricing that we do go hand in hand. So the capital cost in a way is built into the pricing and the margin that the dealers get. And therefore, we cannot change one without changing the other.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Right. So now, in terms of growth, there are only two states which had single-digit growth in the first quarter, large states, MP and Rajasthan, where the growth was almost flat in both cases. The markets that have grown very well, let's say above 25-30%, will be UP, Bihar, then West Bengal, Gujarat, Telangana, I think AP also, AP, Andhra Pradesh. These are the markets that have had very good growth. One thing, Pramod, what you're kind of alluding to, and it's very true, that when it comes to the agri business, whether we talk of machines or tractors, India is not one country. India is as many countries as the number of states we have, and sometimes it's as many countries as the number of districts we have, not even states. And every district, every state has their own nuances depending on the type of soil, depending on where rain happened, didn't happen, where irrigation is good or bad, what crops were sowed that year. And therefore, every company, not just Mahindra, does very detailed for planning of district level on what will happen in each district. And we do demand forecasts for districts and not for country. And then do our inventory planning or management of dealers based on the district planning. So that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of what we have. Now, other thing, I think you said that what are the emerging trends that might affect the demand going forward. There is certainly a change that happens here and here on what kind of crop is planted. And I don't know if I can say there is a pattern, but can we say that pulses are growing?
Pulses are growing. Because of MSP.
Yeah. So pulses are growing, and MSP obviously has a large impact on what crops get sowed. And depending on which crop is being sowed, the different kind of tractors will have higher demand. Some crops require lower horsepower, some require higher horsepower. Also, if rice transplanters, which are used for paddy farming, starts picking up in demand, which in India is very small right now, that will also have an impact on tractor sales. We do think that India will see more and more use of implements, and if more implements get utilized, then again it has an effect on what kind of tractors get used. So everything is very interlinked, and in our planning, business planning, all of these things are looked at in great detail, and those who get it right perhaps do better than those who don't get it right. I'm sure everybody does it.
And the last question on the automotive side, Pawan, as in, just wanted to understand, how's the initial feedback in select markets where you're launched the TUV300+? The reason why I ask this question is if the addressable market can be expanded materially by having an extended overhang and making it a more roomier vehicle, can that also be a thought which can be applied even to the S201? Because then you can kind of play even in the sub-4-meter category and even in the 4-meter plus category, depending on what the customer wants, either more space at a higher price. So I'm just trying to understand, how's the TUV300+ kind of doing initial run?
So the market that TUV300+ is addressing for us, we have two other products. One is the Bolero Long, and second is the Xylo. Okay, so this market, for each of these, we are getting 600-800 kind of volume per month. TUV300+ was launched, I think, middle of May. So we have seen one full month of this, and the volumes for this, I won't give you exact number, but similar to what we see in Xylo, of that order.
But it could be an interesting strategy, right? That the customer is willing to...
Because again, see, one thing that we are doing now, and everybody is doing again, we are not unique, that the auto business is a business where every day something new is happening. Something new is happening because of the changing business models, because of government regulations, because of customer requirements, expectations, because of competitive moves. And therefore, every auto company has to keep many options open, as long as they're affordable options. And therefore, in a segment like TNT, which is what this is sort of focusing on, we have kept our options open. Now, when you talk about S201, I don't think S201 and TUV300 are in the same class. S201 is a monocoque crossover, whereas TUV300 is clearly a frame-based SUV vehicle. And therefore, the customers who are looking for TUV will not be looking at S201 and vice versa.
No. My read was more that can the addressable market for the S201 platform can be much larger by making a larger derivative of that as well. So I was thinking on those lines, not on overlap with TUV, definitely.
Certainly can be, but that's part of product planning. And product planning is a more secretive department in Mahindra than even our designer studio.
Fair enough, Pawan. Thanks a lot and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Take the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for taking my question. A few clarifications. So, sir, if you could just highlight, what do you expect now that this axle load revision has been done for existing fleet as well? So does that, your thoughts on the demand outlook for the truck side?
So demand was certainly adversely affected towards the end of July. And there was a lot of confusion on what might happen, might not happen. There was confusion on RTO registering the vehicles, not knowing what they're supposed to register. Things are clearing up. August will be better than July in terms of impact of axle capacity. But I personally don't think that August will be fully normal. My guess is by September it will become normal, but I don't think any automaker will be launching a higher axle capacity vehicle in September. So to that extent, those who want to wait for higher capacity vehicle will probably not buy in September. I don't want to project whether it will have an impact on demand overall, because the demand has been very robust and almost coming close to being constrained by supply. and therefore the demand, once the confusion is over, the demand may go back to normal, but there certainly will be people who will wait for high exit capacity vehicle. And as I said earlier, that I really cannot predict right now, since things are changing every day. I cannot predict right now as to how long it will take for us to launch the high exit capacity vehicle. It would have been nice if it was aligned with BS6, so that we would have had good time to develop these vehicles and not do two developments separately, once for BS4 and then again for BS, within few months for BS6. But it is the way it is, and therefore we'll have to launch it. And competitive situation does not allow anybody luxury of waiting till BS6, because if one company launches, the other doesn't launch, and that the company that doesn't launch will have a disadvantage in the marketplace. So everybody is going to be in a race to be amongst the first to launch it.
Right. And sorry, just related to that, does this push back your launch on the medium-duty side because of this new...
No, it doesn't, because that product is ready to go. We have already revealed the product. We are just in the seeding phase. Everything is done, supply development, manufacturing, validation. Everything is ready to go. So there is so there are no engineering resources that are getting pulled by that product. It's just in the final stage of sign-off, and therefore it doesn't delay that product. And that product, as you know, is not affected by this change.
Okay. And just, sir, could you share the revenues on the agri implements for this quarter?
Have you shared in the past? We have not shared that in the past.
We have done.
Okay. Sriram says we can share. So last quarter, the growth was 41%, taking us to about close to 100 crores.
Okay. And just on clarification, I mean, you made a comment saying that...
This is just India. As you know, many of our overseas business, like, for example, Semco is all machinery. Hisar Lar, one-third of it is machinery. Even in MAM, it's a lot of machinery. Even in Musa. So I'm just... What I've told you is just the India revenue.
Just the M&M plus MBML, right?
Yeah, M&M India revenue.
Right. And just on your comment that no new platform till 2020, so the Bolero upgrade, I mean, given the safety norms...
I don't call that a new platform, that's an upgrade.
Oh, okay. And just lastly, I mean, are you still looking at new launches on the two-wheeler side? I mean, so will those happen after BS6 comes in?
On two-wheeler side, the new launch will be in the CLPL segment, where we have the Java bike, and that will be launched in this year.
Okay, this year, it says. Okay, sir. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Last one. All done? Okay.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was our last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghunandan from MK Global for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for attending the call. On behalf of MK Global, we thank the management for giving us this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of MK Global Financial Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.